Thank you for attending this podcast from E4X. Today, we're proud to interview the head of NextGen FX at Nordea, Matti Honkonen. Welcome, Matti.
Thank you.
Matti's based in Helsinki. Is that correct, Matti?
That's right.
Fine. Okay. We'll kick off straight to the questions, Matti. What does the digitization of FX actually mean?
Thanks. It's always good to start with the basics. It can indeed mean quite many things. First of all, it could mean trading traditional currencies manually in a digital interface. Or second, trading traditional currencies automatically. Or third, trading digital currencies and cryptos. But when I talk about the digitalization in FX, I usually mean the first two things, since they are the most relevant for the corporate customers right now. And we are actually making quite good progress on both fronts. Traditionally, FX trading in the Nordics has been very digital in the very narrow sense. That is, corporate users have to a great extent been trading currencies in banks and other providers' digital interfaces. However, that has been quite manual and still is. So for example, exposures have been calculated in giant Excel files, data coming from various sources, which can be anything from ERP systems to emails to a colleague shouting from the other end of the room. And then when the user lands on a number they would like to trade, they copy the number from that Excel to the digital interface. And once they have traded, they open yet another system, let's call it accounting system, where they manually book the trade details for accounting and follow-up purposes. And now, right now, I think the most interesting digitalization process is taking place in the automation space, where the data is increasingly being made to flow automatically between the different systems. And the user only needs to tell the rules and not copy data manually. And in some cases, they still want to take a look at the numbers before trading, while some other times they even want to automate the trading and only do the controlling afterwards. So actually, it is about telling the digital platforms what the user intends to achieve and how, and then letting the platform to perform the tasks according to the rules.
Right. Thank you for that. What will this move mean for banks and treasuries?
Yeah, we have seen that the importance of the human actors have not decreased, nor is it going to do that in any foreseeable future, in my opinion. But the nature of the human work, of course, is changing quite dramatically, and in general for the better, so you don't need to worry too much. In a nutshell, the advanced digitalization gives us humans more time for brain work, since we need less time for the menial, repetitive manual tasks like copy-pasting data or performing the same action over and over again every day. So improving digitalization and automating the manual tasks does require quite a plenty of human work, actually, especially thinking. However, this new work is more meaningful than the old work for two reasons. First, you must think what you actually want to do, which is challenging, and therefore most people find it quite kind of natural and kind of challenging in a nice way. The new work is like planning a project, while the old work is more like blindly executing a project by following orders from someone else. And then secondly, when you focus on improving the work, you get forward every day. The output gets improving from day to day. And in the contrary, if you only perform the same tasks every day, week or month, you don't get a lot better. The output will look pretty similar every time. And that's, I think, is not very kind of encouraging and inspiring for a person implementing those tasks. And the implications, of course, differ a bit based on if you look at the treasury or bank side. In the treasuries, to make this bright future promise true, treasuries need to understand the technical possibilities and learn to look at their table from a different angle. And then on the other side, future bankers will be advising treasuries on how they could meet their goals with the help of these new digital tools. So they will be more than ever involved in the strategic discussions and less in the execution of the tasks that are, as such, are quite trivial once you have the strategy, rules, and data in place. And in order to get this transformation right, one very crucial point is to find people who understand both the business or treasury side and the technology well enough. And you also must have people whose expertise overlaps in a good way. So the most common problem I see in the digitalization is that the tech people have no idea about the business or treasury side to provide good solutions for them. And on the other hand, the treasurers don't know the tech side well enough to ask for those good solutions from the tech side.
Right. So it looks like there's a lot of work to be done there.
Indeed.
So in terms of your competitors, is this process taking place in lots of other banks as well, or don't you know, or is it mainly the Scandi banks? Can you throw some light on this move in the industry as a whole?
I would say that it is taking place across the continents, across the markets, across the banks. But of course, the speed of this transformation is quite different from bank to bank.
Right. So there's some banks, obviously, probably the lower tier banks that are still obviously just buying straight off the shelf solutions and have only recently moved into electronic banking, perhaps in the last few years. And then there are obviously other banks who are speeding ahead, like yourselves. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And do you maintain? I assume from what you said, you maintain a team of programmers to make all this possible.
That's correct. So actually, this NextGen FX, our team, is a kind of traditional, self-sufficient, agile software development team, where we have the capabilities from programming to data analysis to product ownership to operations to infrastructure and so on, so that we can implement quite quickly what we want to prioritize. And of course, then we have also very close relations to our business side, so that we make sure that the priorities make sense for the business. But then on the other hand, this is on a purpose quite a small team, so that we can in an agile way implement whatever we want to implement. But then also it means that we also need to rely quite heavily on external partners, because we can't build everything on ourselves, because we are roughly 10 people only in this team.
Right. Everyone is talking about platforms and ecosystems. Leading on from a previous question, what does that mean for FX? Will FX trades be done outside banks' trading platforms, or will it all simply be unchanged?
It depends. For some customers, FX trade is just a kind of quite a trivial byproduct of another process. If that primary process happens somewhere else, for example, in the ERP system or treasury management system, it is natural that FX trading happens on the background without the customer ever logging to any bank interface. In the same way, if the customer just wants to do some rule-bound trades at the end of the day, it is natural it takes place automatically without customer going anywhere. Instead, they typically only want to have a control dashboard where they can see after the fact what has been traded. It depends on the customer if this should be in a bank or non-bank interface. Then we have other customers for whom the FX trading is quite an essential part of their financial management, and they have quite sophisticated rules for that. For them, it is quite natural to do the trading in the specialized bank interfaces and then do the integration the other way around. So integrate other systems to the bank system to make sure that data flows back and forth and that the end user doesn't need to log into any secondary platforms, only to send data or request data from the trading platform or go via Excel or whatever it is, how it usually today is working.
And are those mainly the larger corporates?
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes, mostly yes, of course, because the larger corporate is the huger the amount of the manual work connected to FX is. But of course, there are also some corporates that are a bit smaller as such. But for them, the FX might be an essential part of their business. Maybe they're exporting their whole production, or maybe they're importing everything from Far East or so on. So typically larger, but not always very big.
Thank you. How will digitization, as you've described it, change the competitive landscape?
Yeah, there I would not say that there is any kind of obvious answers like banks win or banks lose to the fintechs. I think that digitalization will reshuffle the market, and it is the most visionary and adaptable banks that will win in the end. Clearly, there is a role to play for the digital and innovative banks and fintechs alike who understand the customer needs and invest in fulfilling those needs. Of course, you need to have kind of the sufficient customer base to be able to succeed in the digital space, since it requires quite a lot of investments. On the other hand, now when good investments also pay off, when the competition increases and the competitive landscape will be reshuffled, you don't need to start big. If you are better and learn faster than others, you can get quite big quite quickly and also can get capital for the investments if you see that there is a business case for that. So the world will belong to those who keep learning and improving faster than the rest. And I'm quite sure that there will be both banks and fintechs who are going to be winners in this race.
And your department is a sort of a fintech, almost like a fintech division within a bank, is that correct?
That's right. Actually, what sometimes annoys me a bit in the discussion about fintechs against banks is that banks are actually fintech companies also, because they are fin and they are tech. And of course, banks mm-hmm. have not been all tech companies to begin with, but increasingly they are. So of course, banks have invested quite heavily on the tech side and will increasingly do that going forward, because mm-hmm. banking is going digital and there is no question about that.
I think some people still think of banks as a place you walk in and they're like in those 18th century or 19th century you know, cowboy movies where you walk.
That's right. That's quite,
you know,
funny.
That's sort of bankers, you know.
Exactly. But to be honest, I have actually been working for a bank for more than 15 years, and I have not a single time seen any cash there, apart from the canteen, of course, but not in the bank itself.
Right. So only in the cafeteria or whatever is there cash there. You haven't seen any real money.
Yeah, there you can see some. Of course, in the Nordics, cash is not used a lot at all. So even there, it's not every day you see that. Sure. But yeah, bank is for sure quite different from what it was in the 90s or 80s.
Well, everything seems to have changed. There's a lot of buzz about the digital and cryptocurrency space. How do you see this in the corporate space? Is that as prevalent, or how is it growing, etc.?
Actually, not that much, at least on the corporate space where I'm working on. Of course, we are focusing on the transactional FX and not that much in FX as an investment class. While the hype around the cryptos have to a great extent been about them as an asset class and not that much as a means of payments. However, I think that the new digital currencies are indeed an interesting and relevant topic for the future cash management and global payments, because the current currencies and payment systems have a few significant shortcomings, which I think must and will be addressed by the banking sector. I tend to believe, however, that it is the digital and regulated central bank controlled currencies that sound most interesting and promising. And with these shortcomings I refer to, I mean following. So contrary to what many crypto enthusiasts claim, even the current dominant currencies are programmable. My developers, for example, they are doing just that, programming applications that trade these currencies. So it is not a problem. The problem is that you can't settle these currencies anytime. Actually, most of the hours in the day, you can't settle any currency. So typically European currency, you can only settle during European trading hours. And it is quite a big issue for the corporates. The problem gets even worse if you have accounts in multiple banks, because the settlement window is then even more narrow. And the reason we are plagued by these problems is that the current trading and payment flow is running on an infrastructure that was created a long, long time ago. There are many manual steps run by commercial banks, central banks, clearing houses, and other players at the end of each day. And that's why the trading, or actually settlement, can't go on 24/7. And another big problem is that if you intend to settle an FX trade on two different banks, the settlement is either very expensive because of the manual work I just mentioned, or it requires end users manually be involved if you are using the PSD2 APIs. And there is no possibility to offer a bank or any other player a digital consent to manually settle on any account you hold in any bank. So this means automatically traded FX can't be settled automatically, efficiently. And I hope and believe that the regulated banking sector will solve these problems soon. Even when that happens, I think the appeal of crypto seems quite distant in the corporate FX market, to be honest.
That's interesting what you say about this whole process has been practically hampered by, you know, you can do lots of trading and it's all automated and everything, and then it comes to settlement and there's still manual steps involved and all
That's
sorts
right.
of laborious procedures. Do you think that will improve? Is there any sort of regulatory conference or move to sort of replace all this with real-time settlement?
Indeed, there is a lot, and it is nice to see that basically all the central banks, they are talking about the digital central bank currencies they are planning to have in future. This was sparked by the increase of the cryptos as such, but also these underlying problems with the cutoffs and so on, they have been there for forever. And for a long time, I also was thinking, okay, this is just a kind of regulatory issue that if we just one day decide to get rid of cutoffs, they will not be there anymore. But that's not true. We have those cutoffs and those limitations on when and how you can settle, because the underlying process is extremely manual in all the market players. So the cutoff is
a sort of necessary part of the scaffolding or the infrastructure, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's not very easy to solve, but it is a big problem and it needs to be solved. And also for consumers like us, kind of private persons, it's not a big issue because we already have e-money. I can pay you with my mobile wallets and you get the money. You can use that right away in a cafe or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a funny money, or not kind of not real money in that sense, that it would be your asset or the other party's liability. And it's a big problem for the corporate, because in their bookkeeping accounting, they need to have real USDs or euros, for example, and not just kind of some nice e-money wallets, because they are a different thing from accounting perspective, at least.
So when I send my girlfriend, you know, 500 euros to spend, and she gets it instantly in 2 seconds in her bank account. It's not that the one bank has necessarily paid the other bank. It's simply a kind of almost like a fake transfer.
And behind
the scenes, it's still done at the end of the day as such.
Exactly. So if it is, right, as it typically is, you are probably using some kind of mobile wallet, and it's e-money. It's not kind of real money, account-to-account transfer that is taking place right at that point of time.
Right. So a lot of catching up to do. Any final comments about the future and how Nordea fits into that?
Yes, I think that the future is even more interesting than ever. We can also see that the change and the speed of change is actually increasing, especially on the digitalization and automation of FX. But I think that we are quite well positioned. It has been already quite many years that we have been working in this space, mm-hmm. and now it looks that we are not the only bank anymore who is there. But for sure, we can also build on the learnings that we have got so far, and also great to see that the customers are helping us with this so that we get to the next level. So I think that the future looks very promising for the banks who are all the time preparing for that.
Brilliant. Well, it only remains for me to thank you, Matti Honkanen, head of Next Gen FX at Nordea in Helsinki, on behalf of E4X Magazine and SJB Media. Thanks very much for very, very amazing insights today.
Thank you. Likewise, it was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks.